a meeting.
We just have a wee word of prayer together, please. I'll not be preaching too long or not speaking too long, so don't get over anxious. We'll have our supper after the service, and I would invite everyone, gallery and those down below, even if you're not here, just a visitor. Well, we would love for you to stay and have a wee cup of tea with us after the meeting. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have heard and seen this evening. We thank you for thy grace that has enabled Stephen and Helen to serve thee in a little way in a far off land. And we pray now, Lord, that you'll bless us as we turn to thy precious word. O God, thou dost know our need as we stand before this people tonight. And we pray, Lord, you'll fill us with thy spirit. Grant that our thoughts and our words might be acceptable unto thee. Cover us now beneath the precious blood and take away every distracting thought. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, please. And I just want to read a few verses with you from this chapter. First Epistle of Timothy, and we're at the chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and the verse 12 down to verse 15. Paul speaking here to Timothy, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Verse 15, I would like just to leave with you for a short time. Paul says this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul put himself here in this verse among the chief of sinners. Or perhaps we could put it in another way, the worst of sinners. Paul's writing to a young pastor here, a young preacher, giving him advice, giving him direction in his ministry. And he says there in the verse 13, after he gives a few words of testimony, it wasn't a very long testimony, you'll notice. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. And you know, tonight in our meeting, that's what you and I need. In our natural condition, in our unsaved condition, we need the mercy of God. And those of us tonight in this service who are saved and who would call themselves Christian, we do thank God for the day when he had mercy upon us. And so we want to just turn to your thoughts just very quickly to this verse 15. And I want you to notice, first of all, that in the very center of this verse, we see the words Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Could I say this evening that the gospel message that is not Christ-centered that is not Christ uplifting is not a gospel message. Oh yes, we can hear preachers talk around the subject, but how wonderful it is to get to the very center of the gospel. And the very center of the gospel message is Christ. And perhaps you're in our meeting tonight unsaved. We're delighted to see you. We're delighted to have you here in this family and friends evening. And could I encourage you to center your focus as you sit in our gospel meeting tonight upon Christ, not upon this poor creature here in the pulpit. For I am hopeless and useless. But I want you to center your attention tonight upon Christ. And my, if you get a glimpse of Jesus Christ tonight and see what he has done for you on the cross, well then I believe you will be a changed man or woman or young person. We read there in Matthew 1 and the verse 20-21, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." That is why Christ came into the world, that he might save people, that he might deliver people from their sin. And we read there in Matthew 9 and verse 13, Jesus said, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." There are many righteous people. There are many good people in our land tonight. And maybe there's some in our meeting this evening. And you say, "Well, I think I'm good enough. I do this and I do that and I do the other thing. And I'm just as good as some Christians." You would be put in the place of the righteous here this evening. Jesus said, "I'm not come to call the righteous, those that think they are good enough. But," he said, "I'm come to call sinners to repentance." And then in Luke's Gospel 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost." You remember little Zacchaeus, a twister, a thief. And yet, Jesus Christ said after his conversion, "I've come to seek and to save that which is lost." Remember the lost sheep? Remember the lost son? I wonder tonight, are you lost? Lost in your sin? Never been to Calvary tonight? Oh, you know the gospel, but you don't know Jesus Christ personally in your life. I trust this evening that you'll come and experience even the Savior in your life this evening. That is why Paul could say, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation." Paul experienced this salvation in his own life. It wasn't something he had read about or heard about. No, it was something that he had experienced in his own life. And I trust tonight that you'll experience that in your life. We read there in Matthew 20 and verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." We're talking here this evening about the very center of this verse, Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, as mentioned in this verse. And it says he came to give his life a ransom for many. That's why he died on the cross. That little word ransom, it simply means to pay a huge amount of money for the freedom of another. Or it can be put like this, to buy out of captivity. And Jesus said he came to give his life a ransom for many. And what a price Jesus Christ paid upon the cross, bearing shame and scoffing rude. "In my place, in your place, condemned, he stood. He paid the ransom that you might be delivered out of captivity." How the devil has controlled your life, well, you may not like to admit that this evening. But could I say, if you're not on the side of Jesus Christ this evening, you're on the devil's side. You're a slave to the devil tonight. You're under his control. You're under his captivity. And he leads you and he guides you whatever way he wants. There's only one that can deliver you this evening, and that is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone. What a price to pay for you and me this evening. Oh, I trust, dear unsaved man or woman this evening, that you'll realize just what a price was paid to save you from your sin. He took my sins and my sorrows, the hymn writer says. He made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. The verse says, how marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love to me. God's one and only plan for you and I this evening is salvation through his dear Son. No other way, no other plan, no other means, no other way to get to heaven tonight but through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Peter could say there in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We quoted that verse before, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. If you've never come to Jesus Christ this evening, you're lost in your sin. You're away from God tonight. You're like that prodigal son in the far country. You're feeding in the husks of this world. But I'm glad tonight there's a way back. Just as that prodigal son realized there was a way back to the Father's house, I'm glad tonight there's a way back for you, and it's through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a message we have to offer this evening. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Oh, that you in our meeting tonight would see the truth of this message. That you would not, and this so often happens, that you would not apply it to someone else. But oh, tonight that you might take it personally to your own heart. Christ died for me. Christ died for me. And oh, tonight that you might flee away to Jesus Christ. It's Christ you need tonight. It's not the church, not this church. This church can't do you any good. This church can't save you. It's not a minister you need. Minister can't save you. It's Christ you need tonight. The story is told of a little girl in a city in the mainland many, many years ago. Her mother lay dying. She was concerned about her mother. This was a Christian little girl. And her mother wasn't saved. And she went to a preacher. And she said to the preacher, will you come and visit my mother and get her in? That was just the little girl's way of saying, will you come and speak to my mother about Jesus? She said to the preacher, will you come and get my mother in? The preacher followed the little girl down through the city streets, down to a little hovel where they lived. And there her mother lay dying on her bed. And this minister went over and he talked to her about the wonderful life that the Lord Jesus Christ lived, how that he went about doing good and he did no harm to anybody, and he set us a wonderful example. And the woman in her dying bed, she says, mister, that's not what I need. That's not what I want to hear. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus Christ and what he has done for me. The minister wasn't a saved minister, and he was a little uneasy. And he remembered the way back to his childhood when his mother and father had taught him the things of God and how that Jesus Christ had come from heaven, how that he came to earth, and how that he went to the cross of Calvary, and there he suffered and bled and died. There he gave his life's blood for sinners, that if they would only come to him, they would be saved and forgiven and washed and made ready for heaven. And as he
started to relate this to the old lady. She says, yes, that's the message that I need. And that night she and, believe it or not, the minister both came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. You know, tonight, you need Jesus Christ. I have no other message for you this evening. This is the only message for poor lost sinners. It is the only message for you in our meeting this evening. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then we notice that it's a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. A faithful saying and worthy of accepting. I wonder tonight, as we come to the end of our gospel meeting, I wonder, will you put your faith and put your trust in Jesus Christ? That's a very impertinent question, isn't it? Man, tonight in our meeting, unsaved, unwashed, unprepared to meet God, will you come and have faith in Jesus Christ this evening as your Savior? This is a faithful saying and worthy of accepting. This is good news tonight for you. You couldn't hear better news tonight. I wonder, will you come and put your trust in Him? It can change lives. You think of the Apostle Paul. It says he was a blasphemer. Maybe you're not like that tonight. He was a persecutor of the Church of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not in that category tonight. But still you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You're under the wrath and judgment of God tonight in our meeting. Oh, you wouldn't put yourself in the class of some of the down and outs in society. You wouldn't put yourself in the class of the Apostle Paul. But you need to obtain mercy just the very same way as he did. Think of those whose lives were changed. I just want to mention a few just as we close. You think of the publican. In Luke's Gospel 18 and verse 14, Jesus said concerning this man went down to his house justified. My, he was just a publican. He was a down and out, outcast of society. Was under conviction of sin. He was so under conviction of sin that he couldn't even lift his head in the temple to pray. I wonder, is there someone in our meeting like that tonight? And then remember Zacchaeus. We mentioned him earlier on, or part of that particular story. How that he was a cheat. He was a thief. He was unliked by everybody in the city of Jericho. And yet Jesus stopped one day below the sycamore tree, and he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to abide at your house. And we read that Zacchaeus came down immediately. And what did Jesus say about Zacchaeus as he went and talked to him in his home? Jesus said, this day of salvation come to this house. My, what a difference Jesus makes. I could ask many in this gospel meeting tonight, would you please stand up and tell the people in a few words just what Jesus Christ means to you? Would you stand up tonight and tell this congregation the difference that Jesus makes in your life? Some perhaps were down in the depths of sin and Jesus miraculously saved them. Some perhaps walked the clean side of the broad road, but still they could stand up and say, yes, Jesus Christ means everything to me tonight. He is my everything, the little chorus says. He is my all. Yes, Jesus Christ made a difference to Zacchaeus. He made a difference to his home as well. Oh, Mom and Dad, tonight Jesus can make a difference in your home. He can make a world of difference in your home. I wonder, will you receive him this evening? And then we have, of course, blind Bartimaeus. What a difference Jesus made to this man. Mark 10 and verse 46. Jesus passed through Jericho. You know the story. Blind Bartimaeus was on the outside of the city. And he stopped. And Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" Wasn't that a wonderful thought from Jesus? Jesus said to Bartimaeus, "Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you?" And of course, a blind man, he immediately would say, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." I wonder tonight, as we close our meeting, is there one here tonight and Jesus is speaking to you personally? Oh, he's maybe speaking to the one beside you, or the one in front of you, or the one behind you, but as you sit in our gospel meeting tonight, Jesus Christ is speaking to you. The Spirit of God is working in your heart. And it hasn't been a great sermon as far as preparation perhaps is concerned. I never went through Bible college like the student here this morning to give a great word. But I seek this evening to uplift Jesus Christ to you. We read in this verse, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." You see, tonight, there's nothing you can do to save yourself. Christ has done it all. Christ has paid it all for you on Calvary. You dare not add to it. You dare not take from it. I wonder, will you say, like the hymn writer, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Oh, I trust you'll come to Jesus Christ this evening. And the wonderful thing is, if you come to him, he'll meet you and you'll have 1,000 welcomes. I trust you'll come for his name's sake. Let us just